Hey Watcher crew, it's Gene here. How you all doing? This is one hell of a Watcher quickie. You may not have heard me on the podcast lately because I've been very busy with the Midsummer Festival and planning for Comedy Festival and all that general performance crap that I do every year. So I've been working like a mofo. So I haven't been reading many comics, and I thought rather than, you know, reading a bit here and there and then eventually telling you guys what I think about one or two, I would wait. And during the Midsummer Festival, I didn't read any comics. So essentially, I didn't read any comics for the month of January. Then I sat down, had a massive read, and now you are sitting down and ready for a massive Watcher quickie. Well, I don't know whether you're sitting down or not, or on a bus or what, but I am going to do a rapid-ish review. It's going to be a little longer than my usual rapid reviews of all the comics that I've read in the past month. This is very Marvel-heavy. In fact, it's only Marvel-heavy. So if you're into DC, I apologize in advance, because really, I don't know why you're reading it. But what's a girl to do? So hold on to your hats. Get ready for Dean's Watch a Quickie Rapid Review. Okay, so I'm not going with any particular order when it comes to this rapid review, only because, quite frankly, who can be bothered? I will tell you this, though. At the end of it, I did do a massive cull of comics. There's something about sitting down and reading an entire batch like this, when you read a month's worth and you realize how many things you don't actually enjoy or you think is kind of shit. So it was kind of handy in that regard. I realize I waste at least $15 a week on comics. I know that's only three, but quite frankly, if it's three that I don't want to read, why am I reading them? I'm not Mark after all. But let's dive into comic number one, and I'm kicking off with issue number one of The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. I've always been a massive fan of the character of Squirrel Girl ever since Great Lakes Avengers, when she was appearing in that. She's tons of fun. She's cute. It's a really enjoyable character. So I was a little bit excited when a comic was coming out, featuring Squirrel Girl. But what did I think of the actual comic? It's actually a whole lot of fun. Squirrel Girl's been one of those characters that's been hyped up to be so amazing, and some people don't sometimes get that she's just this awesome chick, and that's why I kind of loved it. I'm going to start with the art first. The art of this comic is absolutely fantastic. The artwork is done by... Where's the guy's name? The artwork is done by... Maris Wicks. Wow, that was anticlimactic. I really should write notes down. And his artwork is absolutely awesome. It's cute. It's fun. It's very comic-y. But what I really enjoy is he makes Squirrel Girl look like a girl. She's not big and busty and very skinny with a little waist. She looks like an average, ordinary chick, and that's what makes her superpowering so much cooler. Basically, Squirrel Girl is joining university, and she has a talking squirrel, which is really great. Normally, we get to see her talking to the squirrel in the comics, but this time we see the squirrel talking back to her, and this is her adventures of going to university and having a roommate and trying to have a secret identity. It is balls out fun and so cute. She's just automatically fighting Kraven, and it's absolutely awesome, and I just love it. If you're... Are you a fan of She-Hulk? See, I loved She-Hulk as well. It's this type of humor and this type of ridiculousness that I really enjoy, and Squirrel Girl has it in droves. So if you're into that kind of a comic, you should grab it. It's so cute, so fun, so awesome. And at the end, Galactus is coming to Earth. Now, I believe Squirrel Girl has defeated Galactus before, but hey, we'll get to that at another time. Now, we're diving into The Death of Wolverine, The Weapon X Program, issue number 5. This whole Death of Wolverine thing has been really fucking confusing for me. Like, the dude died, and we're going to get to the Wolverine comics at some point, because they're in this pile, but I've been really confused. Like, I just wanted to find out what was going on, and in reading all these spin-offs, I cannot be more fucking irritated when it comes to what these comics mean. This Weapon X program one is people who I think have healing factors, might have the Red Skull in his brain. I honestly just couldn't follow the fucking thing. The artwork is pretty and stuff, but this is the beginning of the end for me when it comes to Wolverine comics, I think. These spin-offs are just shitting me to tears. But so that wasn't that exciting. Now, the one I've been waiting to review the whole time. It's Thor issue 4 and Thor issue 5. Oh my fucking god, I'm loving the new female. I can't call her the female Thor. She's just Thor. And this is the end of this storyline where basically she comes out swinging. We find out that she is not Thor's Odin's son's mother. But we actually find out what happened to him with his arm getting cut off and his father helping with a substitution and how he comes back down to Earth to reclaim his hammer. And then when he battles Thor, she kisses him. That makes me wonder who she is. And I'm really hoping it's, what's her name? The girlfriend doctor thing. Not because hopefully then there can be some recasting in the movie and it can't be the boring chick, but I'm really hoping that's who she is. But seeing the two of them fight is great. Seeing Thor accept that he is no longer the person who owns the hammer and she is worthy and the hammer is doing things for him that it had never done is absolutely awesome. I love that we still have a giant mystery when it comes to who this Thor is. I'm really enjoying the crap out of it. And now we dive straight into issue number 5, which is just battles galore, and it's Thor meeting Thor's mother, and I just love it. Do you know what I think I've realized? I haven't actually read this comic. Yes, I have. I've read it. There's just been so many comics that I've read. It's just been crazy. But what I'm really enjoying about this new way and direction for Thor is what it means for men and women. The fact that Odin is not okay with a woman being Thor, and it really creates an interesting dynamic. I was worried, to be honest, with the Thor girl change, but I think keeping Jason Aaron on is the way to go because his storytelling is so strong and it's so interesting. And he's certainly not dropping the Odin son anytime soon. Spider-Man and the X-Men issue number 2. Okay, with the death of Wolverine, the whole Wolverine and the X-Men thing is something that I loved when Jason Aaron was writing it and eventually dropped with the remake and the new person doing it. I thought it was really crap and I was a little concerned about this whole Spider-Man and the X-Men idea. I've stopped reading it for no other reason than it's a great story, but I don't think it ultimately impacts in me and what I'm doing. Issue number 2 was the reason why I stopped. Basically, issue number 1 is Spider-Man trying to join the school. And what's really great is seeing the mutants be like, no, you're human. You can't be a teacher here. Seeing racism from the other side, which I thought was really fun and really interesting and a nice way to do things. And he's joined the school. He has to keep it a secret because one of the students is working for an evil side. And Wolverine wrote him a note before he died saying, now I need you to be responsible for this, which is a little far-fetched, but basically it's someone in the special needs class. So he's teaching the special needs class and he's trying to find out who the baddie is. Now, this is like the special needs class from the Wolverine and the X-Men. So I love these characters. I love what's put into them. I love this energy and I love the comedy of Spider-Man interacting with them. They essentially think he's a douche and it's absolutely great. But the problem ultimately then became, by the end of issue 2, I was just kind of like, oh my god, they're on their way back to the mansion. And then suddenly, I think it's Mysterio or someone, Chameleon, kidnaps them. And I'm like, oh, are we going to have this kind of a rolling story? I already get that kind of stuff from the Spider-Man comic. And because I'd already dropped this in the X-Men and wasn't as tied to the youthful characters, I thought it was okay to drop. But it's actually a really, really fun read. There's nothing bad about it. I was just like, yeah, there are other things I'm more passionate about. And when it comes to X-Men especially, I'm trying to do this thing where I'm not reading every single comic. I did that for years and you end up pissing a ton of money away. And a lot of the writers, I sometimes feel slack off when it comes to the X-Men. I'm not trying to be an asshole or anything, but some knock it out of the park and some go for this Chris Claremont-esque type mood and this kind of stuff. And it's time to bring it back. If you're not bringing it at the top of your A game, then I'm not buying it. Uncanny Avengers issue number 1. Okay. I love Rick Remender. I know there's been a lot of controversy about the fact that the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are no longer mutants and there's something else and what does this mean? And this is picking up directly off the previous Uncanny X-Men arc with a whole host of new characters including Brother Voodoo, Sabretooth, and even Captain America, Falcon America, and Vision. There's a whole lot of characters thrown in and you've got to hit the story running. And because of that whole axis thing that was going on, there's been a troublesome end to the way in which Uncanny Avengers ended. But what this is a great way to keep on rolling. What I love about Remender is he dives right into his stories. You start in the middle of it, and it's great. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are angry, and they're trying to find out what their true lineage is. And it's great, and it's cool. It's basically, the team gets split up immediately, like in a really good story. The artwork is absolutely spectacular. Daniel Acuna, I love the stuff that you do, and the coloring really helps it as well. Well, obviously, obviously up against the High Evolutionary because there's animals as people. And this is a character that I've always been concerned about how it's been portrayed, but I'm okay with the way things are in Rick Remender's hand. What's really good is that he gives Sabretooth an actual decent growth and arc that I haven't seen in anything else, whether it be the Wolverine's comic, The End of Axis. He really still doesn't just have Sabretooth be like, I'm a goodie and everything's okay. We've also got Simon Williams trapped in Rogue's body, which is really interesting. And it's nice to see Rogue really pushed in a different direction and way. What I love about Remender is he doesn't hold back. By the end of the first issue, we've already got Cap taken off the playing field and we don't know what's going to happen to him. We have Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in a dire situation. We have the team come together and because of a fucked up spell, completely get split up. And instead of waiting to the next issue to show us where everyone is, it dives straight into it. He's solid in the way he really introduces you to the story in which he's telling. And even, I know some people, this may not be your thing, but you want to pick up the next issue. And that's why I love the way Remender writes. I really also like the way that he shied away in a massive way about a lot of the things of the previous Uncanny X-Men run, like the themes and the tones. He's pushed them in a new direction. And I'm okay with that because the whole Avengers X-Men Unity Squad thing shat me a little bit to tears only because it only had so much of a growth. And because of the new direction of the universe, Remender has really had to pick up things and run with them. And he's really taken this team already just in one issue and shoved them in a new direction that I'm quite happy with. Uncanny X-Men issue number 30. I'm really going to miss Bendis when he leaves this title. I'm really concerned for whoever's going to take it over. I think this is the end of the run. No, it's not. Sorry. It's the middle of the run. Essentially, he's been doing a run where Xavier reads out his will. Which has been really cool. And, well, Xavier doesn't read it out, but She-Hulk has Xavier's will. And she reads it out to the X-Men, so we find out who's going to get what. And it's really, really cool, because he's taking this story in a new direction where he goes, guess what, students? There's a dangerous mutant who I mind-controlled, and now he... Sorry, that was my phone. There's a dangerous mutant who I've mind-controlled, and now he is all like, you can't let him find out who he is, and he does, and essentially he goes nuts, and the previous issue had S.H.I.E.L.D. bomb the mutants, so Storm's still alive, but Cyclops is dead. What's her name? Magic is dead, and he kills Emma Frost. It's this really great, it's the end of the world type thing. It's these characters being pushed in a giant direction, and Bendis does these stories in a really strong and amazing way. And what it really does is push the other characters into the fray, the younger characters that haven't gotten as much of a scope. What I really love is Tempest. It pushes her. She was introduced at the start of this of the whole new direction and the run, and she travels back through time to grab Charles Xavier. It's fucking cool. He tells these stories in such an interesting, fun way. And basically, Xavier comes back to our time and says, to me, my X-Men, because it's the end of days and something needs to be done and he needs to help them. And it's just fucking awesome to go, you know what? There's these characters making these bold, strong choices. And what does that mean for everything? Moon Knight issues 10 and 11. I'm kind of losing my way with Moon Knight. I know Shuri's going to be disappointed to hear that. But I'm not blown away by Brian Woods. I love the artwork. I love the direction. Essentially, another person has come and spoken to, well, put Spectre under, Mark Spectre under, and then spoken to the god, I can never remember his name, who is Moon Knight, and has taken, and he has jumped over to that chick, but she's not quite controlling it, and Mark Spectre wants Moon Knight back. My problem with all of this at the end of the day was it's an interesting story, it's good, but I'm not sold on it, I'm not enjoying it as much. I feel like he's stripped away the tone that we were introduced to this. I mean, in a year, even with two different writers, you've got to be really careful in 12 issues how many different directions you're going to take a story in. And for Moon Knight is a delicate character. And Brian Woods telling a solid story, but I just don't give a shit about it. Essentially, I was excited with the idea that the Moon Knight was stripped away from him, the god Canutio or whatever he is, was actually stripped away from Moon Knight. That really, really excited me. But as the story's going on and she's in someone else and she can't control it, the whole Night Misty storytelling thing, I'm not getting enough dots connected through it, and it's pissing me off. That's essentially what's going on there. Miss Marvel, issue number 11. I am loving the crap out of Miss Marvel. She finally confronts the Inventor, which I'm still confused about what the Inventor is, quite frankly. It's a robot bird or something. I don't know. It gets really difficult. But essentially, she is finally doing the battle that she was born to do, because this is the people that aren't respecting her. And the only way she can do it is by having other kids help her. This is a really enjoyable story. I'm still loving the artwork. Ms. Marvel is a brilliant character, and what the character says about the Marvel Universe at the moment is just solid and rocking. I'm really enjoying it a lot, and I was confused about this whole Inventor thing and why it's her fighting kids, but we're seeing her come to in her own. She just wants to help. She just wants to do something. She's not an expert. She doesn't want to be an Inhuman. She doesn't want to be an Avenger. She's just trying to do her bit, and this is a really solid mark for a character. And you know what? Because this Inventor thing was shitting me the cheers, I'm okay that's kind of been wrapped up, and we're able to take Ms. Marvel in a new direction. New Avengers issue number 29. Now, I've made it no secret that I'm kind of getting over what Hickman's doing with New Avengers, the whole wearing this whole thing, and it's going to create secret worlds, and worlds are going to blow up, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I was blown away with the previous issue that had everyone coming together trying to save us, and actually had the Black Panther kill Namor. That was really awesome. That was really, really solid. But these stories are just so intense. There's so many giant things happening. It is too much. Hickman's kind of doing too much, and I'm really getting bored by it. But this is delving into a new direction and a new life, and it's essentially the gang showing Steve Rogers what's happening and why he needs to stop, and why he needs to stop fighting them, because we've got no hope and our world's going to end, even though Steve Rogers is kind of okay with that. And what makes this really, it's just, we tried everything. We could have had half this issue summarized into a much smaller story and taken it in a bit of a different direction, but Hickman likes to kind of draw these out that way. I know in the end I will love it, but as I'm reading it from week to week, it's shitting me. What's really interesting is the whole, we had a secret agent out there and he was going through the universe trying to figure out things that was going on, and Hank Pym arrives, and Hank Pym's a little bit more nuts than usual. And you know what? This is when I just get Hickman back, because I'm loving what he does. And he basically says that he's found the Beyonders. And it's the end of the title. It's great, because he keeps doing these touchstones to reintroduce people to what's going on, because it's such high ideas and it's so interesting. But I'm over it. Like, I'm actually ready for the world to end. I know that's a little bit sad, but I'm like, let's just get to the Big Bang so we can move on with whatever stories you guys are going to introduce us to next. Operation Sin, with the popular Marvel's Agent Carter series out. Operation Sin is essentially a story about that. It's a comic book about Agent Carter and Anthony Stark, and I should love it. Like, it's by Immerman, and it's great, and I love seeing a strong woman and everything, and all that stuff is really awesome. I just don't care. I'd rather watch the TV show. I don't feel like we've, other than through the TV show and the movies, we haven't really been introduced to who Peggy is in the comics, and I feel a little bit disjointed and confused by it in relation to the dialogue and the look as well, I've got to say. Not that the art of Mr. Ellis or Miss Ellis, I'm not sure, isn't great, but for me it feels too comic booky, and I wish they'd taken it in a bigger direction and really made this comic feel like an old style comic with that tone and artwork and look. But instead, it seems to sit somewhere in between. Immerman is telling a solid story. I just don't give a crap. I'd rather watch the TV show. Secret Avengers, issue number 12. The Secret Avengers has been really awesome. I dropped it previously in its previous run, and this one has been great because it's been really comical and fun. Essentially, MODOK has realized he's in love with, what's her name? The head of S.H.I.E.L.D., Maria Hill. He's realized he's in love with Maria Hill, and we're finding out who the real villain is, who his basic sidekick is the real villain. The team's all split up, and it's tons of fun and really cool. I don't know what else to say about it. I'm loving the crap out of it. S.H.I.E.L.D. issue number 2. I think this one's on the chopping block. Basically, S.H.I.E.L.D. issue number 2 is what happens when Coulson and the science chick, I forget whether she's Fitz or Simmons. I think she's Simmons. She's pretending to be a teacher in school so that she can find something out sciencey, and she's at the same school as Miss Marvel. And then basically it's this whole thing of Coulson going to Miss Marvel, you know, you're not ready, you're not responsible, and then giving her a thumbs up going, you're really awesome. I just don't give a shit. Tying the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters into the Marvel Universe is a solid idea in theory, but you either need to make it ridiculously kiddie and comedy, or you need to make it really serious and detachable. And just having those characters sit alongside the superheroes of today is actually really shit, because if you watch the series, it's not they've built a property based on it being different, and I just don't understand why you would try and do this and think that it's going to translate in a good way. Because it's not. Silver Surfer issue number 8. Oh my God, Dan Slott, you are such a legend. I cannot stop loving every issue of the Silver Surfer. It's just really fucking solid. Essentially, the Silver Surfer and Dawn Greenwood are traveling in space, and then I think she says, let's go somewhere we've never gone before. Hang on, I should turn the pages. And they do something where they end up on a planet which is full of people who have all survived the Galactus coming thanks to the Silver Surfer. And then when the Silver Surfer shows up, everyone freaks out. Everyone's going crazy. And this is when Dawn suddenly realizes who Norrin Rad is, that he's someone who she didn't think. And it's great to see them challenged and tested in this way. It's really awesome seeing him take Slott take the characters in this kind of a direction, and with the fun and joy of space, essentially because of the cosmic trail of the board, that means Galactus can track them, and that means Galactus is on its way. I know I said Galactus was also in Squirrel Girl, but it is great, and it is a really interesting tone and idea, and I love the crap out of it. Spider-Man 2099, yeah, I'm starting to get over this. Don't get me wrong, I love Peter David, but one of the mistakes of Spider-Man 2099 was Spider-Verse. I'm not sure whether this series is ending or continuing. I'm still going to get, if it's continuing, I'll get it to see the new direction. But Spider-Verse for 2099 has shit me. I've enjoyed Spider-Verse a lot, but it's taken this character into something completely separate to what it's been a part of, and honestly, I'm just confused. I don't care. The adventures of all the other Spider-Man and things like that, that might work in Amazing Spider-Man, but Spider-Man 2099, I don't give a shit. So here's the thing. If the series is ending, I'm okay with that. If the series is continuing, I look forward to seeing what the new direction is, but I don't hold my breath. Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man. Thank God the Ultimate Universe is ending. That's the only reason I'm still collecting this, is because I want to round out all the titles that I have. It's not a bad comic. It's just, Bendis, I think you've hit your limit with Ultimate and the Ultimate World. Essentially, Miles is finding out that his father used to be a double agent for S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's a bit of a flashback thing. And while that should speak to a higher emotional connection, I don't give a shit. We're finding out all this stuff about the Kingpin, and for people who previously read Amazing Spider-Man, this might speak to you in a really great way, but I didn't in the Ultimate Universe. I jumped on with Miles Morales, and this entire direction of his father working for the Kingpin years ago, it doesn't bleed or read to me, because Miles has had no interaction with the Kingpin. I find it really confusing, and it ties into the greater Marvel Universe that they created, but not the one that's been in this story. So right now, I'm just like, let's hurry this along. I still love the character of Miles. I pray they don't introduce him into the 616 universe, but I reckon with Secret Wars, he'll just be a part of the posse and the gang. It's interesting when you've got Spider-Verse and everyone's stories have to change, but his ones, and then this is sometimes the problem with what Bendis does. When there's these big events going on, he goes, I've got this one story that I'm going to tell, and it bleeds out when this could have actually happened in one book. Magneto issue number 14. Essentially, Magneto's on Genosha, and S.H.I.E.L.D. come a hunting and looking for him, and he fights them. Oh, Colin Bunn, you can do no wrong. This is such a solid title. I just love the crap out of it. It's so dark and interesting, and he's constantly, Eric is constantly questioning the choices that he is making right now against the choices he made years ago when Genosha was initially destroyed and mutants saved him. And what I really love, what's really great, is they actually show him killing mutants who had been massacred by that massacre and who were still alive. And instead of saving them, he actually kills them, and what that says to him and speaks about him, because they're dying and he's trying to help them and give them that peaceful rest. And he also no longer feels like the strong leader who he was, because everything was turned down around him. And this is a solid goal in relation to Grant Morrison's run, where we never got any of this explained. But oh my God, Bun, this is, you are right up there with Slott in the way with Silver Surfer. You are just tearing at my little heart, and I love it. It's solid and it's golden. Nova. Yep. Nova, you're on the list. It's time, I think, for Nova to go. Essentially, what's happened with Nova is it was this fun, cute idea of a romp, and it's turned into kiddie boringness. Essentially, he's had a concussion, which is just really stupid because the dude flies in space. So this is a way of kind of grounding him and letting his story take a different direction. And Carnage shows up after all the fun of Axis. That's all I want to say. I didn't like it. I'm pretty sure Nova's going to be gone by the end of this month. Rocket Raccoon. Oh, my God. Rocket Raccoon issue number 7. Rocket Raccoon is just fucking fantastic. I do not understand why this is not the top seller every single time. I mean, this is a different artist. It's still written by Scotty Young, and it makes me think Scotty Young needs to write more things. Essentially, he and Groot are trapped on a planet, and Groot gets bitten by something which is going to kill him, and Rocket has to save him. I know that doesn't sound like a big, huge, crazy story, but what I love is Rocket is such a balls-out character that when he realized Groot's going to die, it's the way he interacts with him by being a bit of an asshole and being really affectionate. And it speaks to something really awesome and really great. I mean, Scotty Young, you are just a legend. I'm looking forward to your artwork being back because I also love the way in which you draw. I love it to bits, but also Philippe Andrade, your art is really, really cool. What really works for this is in relation to the space concepts and the space ideas, it's something that's really tangible, really strong, really emotional connected, and really fucking solid. I've just opened the page up on a page, and it's literally after Groot's been bitten and by the things that are going to kill him, Groot looks like he's dead, and Rocket's holding him and saying, Groot, and it's just beautiful. And basically, we're going to see Groot go, right, game on, bitches. Inhumans, number 11. Yep, this is definitely done. This Inhuman comic has been all over the place. And what they haven't done is let me give a shit about any of the characters. This is the one about, like, essentially the blind guy who's in the other place and there's the girl being swapped into another body. The blind guy is, like, trying to save the girl. I don't even know their names, and we're up to issue number 11. Medusa went crazy at the end of Axis and was like, fuck you, I'm leaving here, you guys be in charge, and flirts with a dude, and I don't care. And then all of it ends with Medusa going, it's time for me to go back to where I belong, and then Black Bolt shows up. It should be more exciting than it is, but this story, this whole comic has been all over the shop. I was so excited by Inhumans, especially the fact that we're getting an Inhuman movie. Inhumans have been tied into Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but this is just like, what? There's such a deep, rich history with the Inhumans, and people like Warren Ellis have been able to tell such interesting, strong stories. And Hickman has allowed the Inhumans to be taken in an amazing direction by having the city blown up and they all be spread out. But this comic has really not done the justice to the work that other people have done. It's been really confusing. It's been really washy. It's been really labored. And we still don't know who the characters are other than the ones we've known for fucking ages. Get your shit together because I think I'm done with it. Loki issue number 10. This is the what happens with Loki after Axis. Essentially, he's admitting everything that's gone wrong. And he's apologizing to friends and he's helping them and all of that crap. And even Thor shows up and Thor doesn't believe or remember that he picked up his hammer when he was a good guy in Axis and beat the crap out of him with it. But Loki can't lie anymore. And this is what's really great and really interesting is when everything comes together and he can't lie and he's talking and apologizing. The interaction between him and Thor is absolutely great. But what's really interesting is because he can't lie, he tells Thor that he killed his previous self. Basically, the bad Loki persona killed the good Loki persona, and now that's why we have the Loki who we have. And I'm glad this is finally being explained because it's something that really confused the crap out of me. But essentially, through that happening, then we have Thor beating the crap out of him, sending him to Asgard, and walking away. This is some solid shit. It's still a great title. I'm really upset that they chose to age Loki, but what's a girl going to do? It's a solid title. It's lots of fun. I really love that this plot point is moving on. Axis has certainly been a shifting tone for quite a few characters, but what they've certainly done with Loki is let's take him in a big new direction. Iron Fist, the living weapon. I am done with you. This is definitely cancelled. Issue number 8, I struggled to even read. The art is so anime. The work is so... it's done in a negative way, and all that's kind of happening is I think, what's his name? Iron Fist. Danny Rand. Yeah, Danny Rand's going into his mind and fighting whatever the demons are in his mind, which end up being his mother, and then he re-embraces his power to fight his father. That took 8 issues. Seriously. Really, Queen? I don't think so. It's just this should have happened by issue number 5. The pace of this doesn't work for me. The art and story don't correlate in a way that's really strong. I feel like the art actually distracts from what is trying to be told of what's going on, and it just, everything feels like this giant kapow on every page. You need beats and you need to ease into that. Otherwise, what the fuck are you doing? Legendary Star-Lord issues number 7 and Legendary Star-Lord issues number 8. Star-Lord and Kitty are on a date. I was skeptical about their entire relationship, but basically they're on a date and he's been kidnapped by a whole lot of other chicks who are basically working for his father. And Kitty goes into space, steals an Avengers Quinjet, goes into space to save him. And that's like their awesome kind of date. And it's lots of fun and really cute. This is great. This is enjoyable. This is awesome. It's the space way in another direction. But you know what is really, 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 really confusing? Why? That's my biggest problem with this title. I feel like tying Star-Lord to Kitty Pryde has been cute, but now that you've got them fucking at the end of the title, I'm just like, what the hell? This, I just don't see the point to it. After this, we're diving into Black Vortex, which I'll get shortly, which is a massive crossover. And after that one, I feel like this is going to be dropped as well. Hulk issue number 10 and Hulk issue number 11. We're finally getting some traction on this Hulk thing. Basically, issue number 10 is Hulk versus the Red Hulk. And this battle was the only reason why I was wanting to hold on to this. It's a balls-out, kick-ass fight. And I love the crap out of it. But the problem with it is what it's eventually revealing is nothing. The story's still not going anywhere, and there wasn't actually a defeat. And this whole Doc Green thing, I just don't get it. But essentially what we're tying to with the Doc Green thing is the from Peter David's run, where there was an evil Hulk who was the Majestor or whatever he's called, and ruling the world. I think that's what he's trying to lead to. But I'm just kind of like, I don't give a shit. And then essentially in Hulk issue number 11, it's Doc Green versus the Daughter of Destruction, the Savage She-Hulk. I mean, I like the idea that someone's going through and cleaning up all this Hulkiness, but I don't feel like it's being done in a solid enough way. And it could have been done quicker. Basically, the Hulk, Doc Green, is hiding out. And the title should be called Doc Green, not Hulk. But Doc Green is hiding out in the Baxter Building. And he fights that chick, the Savage She-Hulk, and his aim was to send her home, but actually where he sends her is something else, and he doesn't know why, and he goes back to his computer because he's created an interface, and this is where it finally gets good. And the computer's gone, I change things because you would fail. Doc Green created a computer model so that he could stop Bruce Banner from doing anything, and then the computer model has created a Bruce Banner life model decoy because he's Doc Green's nemesis. It's just a whole lot of what? What the fuck? What is going on? And I don't care. And I think it's time for Hulk to go. There's so much going on, and it's too much, and I'm over it. Hawkeye, issue number 21. Ugh, we're still going on with this Hawkeye story. He's still deaf. I love it. His brother dies in this one. The way of storytelling has been really great, but this has been a labored story. There's one more issue to go, and I love it. But the way in which Fraction and AJ have done this is great. But the problem is that because of that popularity with Hawkeye, it's gone crazy everywhere else. What I really enjoy is the way that when characters aren't facing him, he can't hear them and we can't either. But he and the people of his building are finally battling the tracksuit boys. And it's great, and the art is solid, and the story is fun. But because it's been so long between issues, I just keep having, every time an issue finally comes out, I'm like, what was going on? What? And that's a bit of a problem. Hawkeye versus Deadpool. Dugan, write more of this. Hawkeye and Deadpool together is such a fun thing to do. And essentially, they battle it out. They find the hard drive they were meant to. There's the young Hawkeye as well. And everything ends. They save the world. Blah, 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 blah. But this is one hell of a fun and funny title. I think we need a running series of this. Hawkeye and Deadpool working together would be tons of fun. And quite frankly, Deadpool could use that. I need a breather for a second because I feel like I've been rolling on and I'm just halfway through my pile. If you're still listening, great. If you've just joined us, welcome. I know it seems like I'm going a little bit crazy, but this is a massive rapid review and half the time I'm trying to remember what was going on in these comics. But the thing is, if I don't remember, Then you know what? It's time for that comic to go. Black Vortex Alpha. The saga begins here. It's basically a Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, it's a space X-Men saga, but it's the young X-Men with Kitty Pryde. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's Nova. I don't care. Essentially, they found some mirror in space, and the mirror shows them their ultimate kind of true thing. And when you touch and roll into it, you become something. And that's the story. I don't understand why we're doing this, but I'll read it. Guardians of the Galaxy issue number 23. We're on the Venom planet, and this is really cool, Bendis. Like, solid fucking solid work. Basically, we're on the planet with all the Venom symbiotes, and they talk about how their lives have been destroyed and difficult and create a new Venom for us. Basically, because of Eddie Brock, they create a new solid Venom because of the man that he is and what that makes everything to be. We finally get some direction for the symbionts. And you know what? When we're not even in 25 issues in, that's really solid and really cool. It's tons of fun looking at the way everyone else is communicating and interacting. But really, this is just a great, great way for us to go, oh my God, the symbionts were something more than we thought they were. It's that simple, because we've always known them to be that villain thing, and then this and that, and then it's kind of a good thing. And essentially, the symbiont in the Venom uniform was freaked out, went crazy, traveled back to his home world where it could be healed by the mind, kind of like in Star Trek Deep Space Nine with Odo and the wibbly wobbly Odo gluey things, how they come back together and that can heal them all. And then through healing him, then they create, give him the symbiont back, and they make him better and stronger. And it really means that finally Venom, especially Venom in space, can become something so much more. Unfortunately, then I had to read Guardians of the Galaxy issue number 24, a cover that has nothing to do with the rest of the title. That's my first problem here. Like, the cover, we end the last issue with Peter Quill being the elected president of Sparta. Or Spartax, the Spartax Empire, which is a cute, fun little direction. But seriously, then we dive into the middle of this fucking story about this fucking thing, and the X-Men are in space for no apparent reason, and there's a mirror. And I know this is still written by Bendis, but I'm just like, why are we doing this story? And I just don't understand why this is something I should be reading, and they're all still battling, and then they all see in the vortex who they kind of are. It's a crossover. That kind of shit's going to happen, but it's a crossover that just kind of happened and had no kind of merit, and I'm completely confused. Guardians of the Galaxy, issue number 4. Sorry, the Guardians 3000, issue number 4. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy that I know and love, in the future, trying to stop time from being fucked up. It's fun. It's cool. I think it's ready to be dropped. It's a good story, but it's 4 issues in, and I'm just like, okay, the little bits that you've been dropping here aren't doing it for me. The storyline is solid, and the artwork is fantastic, but something's not marrying between the two of them, and that's irritating my eyes. If I decide it's okay and I want to pick it up again, I will in a couple of months. Fantastic Four, issue number 642. It's part 2 of Back in Blue. Essentially, it's all the villains versus the Fantastic Four we've got left, and then Val shows up. I'm loving the crap out of this Fantastic Four story. The villain finally reveals everything, that he's been manipulating the Fantastic Four for years, and it's an ex-friend of Professor X. It's an ex-friend of Mr. Fantastic, and he basically tells the whole story, and because he's already won, why, there's nothing he can do. What I love the most about this story is that all the villains are using Franklin and using his powers and his mind to create hell on Earth. And Bentley is turned into a bad guy. Bentley 23 is fucking awesome. The clone, the young junior clone of the wizard. And he's essentially, think he's a bad guy. And then he just bides his time and flips the switch and basically has a gun that turns... Wait, has that happened? Yeah, gun that turns... things into chocolate, and he fires on the evil villain and turns him into chocolate so he can save Franklin. And everyone's like, yay! And it's just cool. I love it. And what's really awesome as well is at the end, they go, we need your help. And it's the help of Sleepwalker, who I haven't seen in ages. This is the kind of Fantastic Four stuff that I just love the crap out of. Daredevil, issue number 12. Is solid. This series is just still great. Basically, Daredevil's being blackmailed, and he finds out that he's been blackmailed by a dude who's actually blackmailing other people into pretending to, because he keeps trying to wonder how they don't fake their death. And he blackmails other people to die for him, because, and then he goes after them, and Matt Murdock is not going to let that happen. So as the guy gets on a bike and races off, he gets behind the wheel of a car, and using his radar sensors and his bow sticky thing, he drives the car. It's fucking awesome. It's so fucking cool. I don't know what else to say. It's got the justice of Matthew Murdock, and you've got his girlfriend finally coming together. I feel like I'm struggling now with the review side of things, so we're going to get a bit more rapid. But Daredevil is still great. The simple fact, having Daredevil drive a car through San Francisco, that was enough of a reason for me to want to get this title. It's fun. The pace is brilliant. It's great. Cyclops number 8. Cyclops, I'm done with you. It's Cyclops in space. It's boring. Captain Marvel issue number 11 and Captain Marvel issue number 12 are awesome. Essentially, Captain Marvel comes back to Earth for Christmas, which is great because we finally get this touchstone on everything that's been going on. But she comes back to Earth and basically one of her villains captures her and is going to fuck her up. But that's not what actually happens. And her friend who's dying wakes up and sees her. It's just nice to have a grounded storyline for Carol, basically, because all we've gotten lately is these big space things. And I've had a lot of trouble with the space storylines for Captain Marvel. I know we all got really excited by all of the space that was going on, but it just went, what? I don't understand. And in doing that, I just kept getting really, really lost with it. And the thing is, at the end of this title for issue number 12, we're right back in space. And essentially, her computer's telling her, if they had this many computers to do so many things, but her computer's essentially telling her that her friend's been kidnapped and her cat, and her cat's actually an alien. It's just all a little too much for me. The space stuff is just... having one issue number 11, ground Captain Marvel back on Earth with the characters she knows and the characters we've introduced to and the characters that really speak to her heart and tone, and then jumping her back into space made me realize how much space for this title is a mistake. I'm certainly not in any way stopping reading it, but it is a mistake for the character. When you have another issue that's so fucking solid, this is what you should be doing. Bucky Barnes, The Winter Soldier, issues number 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to review all of these together. I love this title. I feel like I'm reading the Batwoman series from DC. The mixture of the artwork and the story is amazing and beautiful, yet sometimes confusing. Sometimes I'm not 100% sure what I've read at the end of the title, but really you need to just read the beginning and the end. But that's okay. I'm not ready to drop it or anything. It's just, it takes a couple of reads sometimes because it's such a solid tone and artwork. Essentially, Bucky's gone to a planet where the Queen has turned around and gone, you're here to kill me. And actually, she sees her future and sees she's being killed. I'm a little confused because what's his name? I can't believe I'm saying what's his name to you guys. You guys don't see the comic and you don't know what's going on. The villain of Captain America who had the skull on his face, he's probably called Skullface, is in space as well. And this is where it's all gotten a little confusing. These three issues are all really good. The artwork's great, but I don't know what's going on. So I think I'm going to sit down and read them again over the weekend. Avengers issue number 34.2. Don't buy it. It's one of those side stories that has nothing to do with anything and nothing to do with anything. Just don't pick it up. Avengers issues number 40 and 41. This is Hickman's whole the world is ending storyline thing. So we eventually, in issue number 40, have all the... Well, that's where we see... Oh, see, this is where I got confused. That's where we see Namor get stabbed by Black Bolt and then trapped on another world and left to die. That was fucking awesome. I was loving the shit out of it. Like, that was so fucking cool. Having all the heroes come together, go, we've got an incursion right now. Having them all manipulate it so that Captain America and all the ones that have been fighting them to go, now you've got to see what we've been going through. And then having the Black Panther kill Namor, well, stab Namor and then leave him for dead is great. And the thing is, though, that's really hard for me is when the issue picks up again, we're on the Ultimate World. Essentially, that's the world that they've landed on, I think. Or, no, they haven't landed on the Ultimate World. They've landed on another one. And Namor's alive, and basically, they get free. The world that they're on merges with the Ultimate World, and the Ultimate Ultimate Mr. Fantastic, who's kind of evil, meets with our Cabal. I'm a little upset that we're in a place now where Namor's going to be able to be free. I loved the idea and loved that story. And this was a solid issue. It was really strong, but it just wasn't what I wanted to be reading. Amazing X-Men number 15. Oh, it's the Juggernaut. Yep, Amazing X-Men, you are dropped. Essentially, the something of Krytora is calling out to anyone who could touch Krytora, and Colossus feels it, and it's all a whole lot of evil. And the dynamic between the characters and the X-Men is not really strong. Essentially, Amazing X-Men, I'm over you. Angela, Asgard's assassin. I feel like this is kind of like the Bucky issue, the issues that I've been reading. The art is solid. The story is solid. Basically, Angela's on the run from Asgard, and because she stole her sister. And it's really great because you actually get her friend and travel companion. It's really strong. Gillen is doing a great job with this. And she goes for help by going to her friends who are the Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the essential gist of what happened in it, but I'm losing my brain power. It's great, it's solid, it's good. We're only three issues in and a shitload has happened. So I'm just going to take a breather for one more second, because this is a lot of comics that I've been reviewing and I'm starting to die in my head a little bit. Ant-Man 1 and Ant-Man 2, I don't think if I can continue reading you, Ant-Man. You're a solid, cute story. You're a whole lot of fun. Basically, Ant-Man's daughter's being taken to another state, and I don't understand, but I thought Cassie was dead. That's one of my other confusions. Have they just written in the fact that she's still alive again? I thought she died in the Young Avengers Children's Crusade, and that's why he could live. And she's also a lot younger than she was before, but essentially it's just showing him being a douche and not ever having any luck. And then he has to, the issue number one is good and smart. It's a whole lot of people wanting to be a part of Stark Security, battling it out to see who will win. And he does, because he has no morals. And this is the evil Stark that we have at the moment. And, because he does something really shit, and then he goes, okay, you've got the job. And then because his daughter's moving to another state, he leaves at the end and moves to another state. So already in issue two, we have a new status quo. And that's my problem here. Is he a douchey superhero? Is he not being a superhero? He kind of solves the problem of a bear villain attacking things by talking to him and having drinks with him. In issue number two, I got really bored. I think having issue number one establish everything and then throwing it out the window by issue number two has confused the shit out of me, and don't know if I care. The Amazing Spider-Man parts 4, 5, and 6 of the Spider-Verse. I was really concerned about what the Spider-Verse meant and was. At first, it's been this really strong, labored storyline about more loons from time going through the universe and killing all the Spider-Men and all of our Spider-Men coming together to save themselves. Got it? Great. Essentially, it's been a knockdown, drag-out, fun, massive fight, where what's really great about it is that on a world they found, instead of a Spider-Man, the Spider-Man was bitten by Uncle Ben, and Uncle Ben saved himself, and it's a world full of radiation. So their plan is then they all dive head straight in, all of the Spider-Men fighting like crazy. Now, remember, there's only 6 or 7 Spider-Men that we really give a crap about. Unfortunately, what's-his-name dies, the clone Spider-Man, and we've got Superior Spider-Man and our Peter Parker Spider-Man arguing with Uncle Ben, who's given up the world to live. It's great. It's strong, but I think because I'm trying to summarize 3 comics all in one, I'm just getting lost with it. The thing is, this entire Spider-Verse run ended brilliantly. All the Spider-Man went up against the Morlunes and then trapped them all in the universe with radiation, so they have to all stay in a bunker. That's essentially it. It was the only way they were going to survive was not to kill, but was to make that change. It really opens the Spider Universe into a whole new direction. It's been really fun. You've had Spider Ham. It's been really, really great and solid. It's just been too much. And now I'm looking forward to getting Peter Parker back to our Earth, because this has been going for like 6 issues and we're only at issue number 14. And I need him back on Earth and I need him grounded, because it's important. Spider-Woman opened issues 3 and 4. Spider-Woman started tied into the Spider-Verse universe. Essentially, Jessica Drew goes to the home of where all the evil vampire Morlun things are, and she's like a handmaiden who's kind of manipulative and in charge, and then she takes her handmaiden's place, and then that handmaiden becomes in charge of a boat, and then she goes, the world really needs you when it's all over, and she's like, oh, okay, I'll do it. Let's just get back to Earth, yeah? Let's just get back to our Earth. What is really awesome about this, though, is then the epilogue of the Spider-Verse, which is essentially her back in our time when she comes back and she decides to quit the Avengers. And Cap goes, no worries, love. You know we're always here if you need us. And now now I'm looking forward to where this series is going. Not only are we getting a new costume at the end of the next run, but she's literally like, I've looked at what my life was like and I want it to be something different. See ya, okay, bye. Love that shit. I don't want to talk about the Spider-Verse team-up because essentially it was a whole lot of spider stories and I got over it. All new X-Men issue number 35 and all new X-Men issue number 36. Bendis has taken our X-Men off planet. They are in the Ultimate Universe and he is having them travel their way through that. It's comedy gold. It's lots of fun. Iceman is really great, but let's get them either where they're meant to be or what they're meant to do. Let's just get them wherever everything needs to be. I'm bored. And I love what Bendis is doing, but I'm bored. And like I said, it's like when these big, massive things are going on in the world, Bendis takes an idea and puts it in another direction. And it's a good, solid idea, but it's about two issues too long. It's nice having our X-Men in the Ultimate Universe fighting against Doctor Doom with all of the team. But the problem then is when they finally save the day and they get back home. And it's a cute little thing of there's this girl that can't control her powers. So she's constantly like, let's try this universe. No, it's not that one. What are you doing? Let's try this universe. No, it's not that one. How many times can we have storylines that teach us that there are mutants who don't have a lot of powers and we should all do something about that? It's what we get every single time. And I'm just kind of getting bored by it. I want these characters back where they belong, which is creating, I don't mean the world where they belong, but creating a solid juxtaposition to the mutant world, which we have. But I think because that's changing, that's part of the problem. All new X-Factor, issues number 19 and 20. X-Factor has ended. It's such a shame because this is such a fun title. Peter David did such a fantastic job with it, ending them with a giant battle. And what was really good about the giant battle as well was that you suddenly realize how, as much as we're a team, like, Danger doesn't feel like she's got any soul and she's a part of the team. And essentially, at the end, she and Warlock have sex because she's been trying to connect to someone the entire time and they can connect to one another. It's a very quick wrap-up, which I'm pretty sure that's what Peter David had to do, where he wraps up all of his storylines and we find out that the guy that's been manipulating everything is going to use X-Factor to do that. And you find that out because Spider-Man 2009, who's trapped in our time, meets with him and they realize they're both from the future because they knew each other and that they need to, they're both trying to take down the organization that Spider-Man works for who control the future. That's a lot. I just wish that the story would have continued. Captain America, issue 2 and 3. Captain America, wow. I honestly, this is really great. Already, by the end of the issue, Steve Rogers' son is dead. We never really even got a decent introduction to him. The artwork is so amazing. Remender is writing a brilliant story. And it's nice to have the whole Captain America ideal with the characters that already fit in with him taking a new direction. We get Sin back, and it's Sin versus Falcon, and she is fucking with his head in a really solid way, but is it something that he's going to survive? And I'm really, really enjoying Falcon as Cap. I think there's something really bold and strong and different, and what Remender's doing in a really great way is really pulling in a past to him that we've probably never gotten to really explore, and really fleshing that out and putting it out there straight away. And I love it, and it's sick guns, and it's great. Yay to Cap. Wolverine's issue 1, 2, 3. This is the end, people. Wolverine's issues 1 to 6. What the fuck was I reading? Essentially, Wolverine is dead, and people with healing factors have been tied together, and it's like, what? I don't understand. What's going on? I don't get it. And then when I read it all, I go, oh, I don't understand. Why am I reading this? Why do I care? What's going on? Why is everyone so, like, having the characters, having Sabretooth as part of a team isn't working for me. X-23 was doing such a solid job in other titles, and bringing her into this doesn't make sense. Essentially, I just wish they had ended everything, not had these characters introduced. The only reason why I even have six of these comics is because it's come out weekly and I haven't collected my comics in a month. That's the only fucking reason. And that kind of pisses me off like crazy, because I wouldn't have picked this up after issue number 1. I don't like it. I don't know what's going on. I saw something on Tumblr that it says that basically Mystique is coming back. Oh no, not Mystique. What's her name? This is where my brain has gone. I've been talking to you guys for a solid... How long have I been talking? I've been talking to you guys for a solid... Oh, fuck, it's nearly been an hour. I apologize, it's not that quick a review, but Wolverine's shit, don't read it. Okay, so finally, it's time for me to talk about what I'm dropping. I sent my tweets out. I am dropping Wolverine's United States of Murder, Inc., Nova, Superior Iron Man, Moon Knight, Amazing X-Men, Inhumans, Operation Sin, Iron Fist, Hulk, Guardians 3000, S.H.I.E.L.D., and Cyclops. I'm just bored with them all, and it's time to be done. I really apologize that you, if you're still listening, you've sat down for an hour and listened to me talk about comics, as I've just rambled through what I've loved and what I've hated. I'm wondering what you guys have thought about it. So if you have enjoyed the comics, if you think I'm making mistakes about anything I'm dropping, you can hit me up and let me know. This has been a special Watch a Quickie. You're not going to hear from me for another couple of weeks because the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on and I'm doing a show, A Midsummer Night's Dean, me versus Shakespeare. So I'm still going to hopefully be chucking things in here where the guys can add to the episode. But sit back. I hope you enjoy the special guests. I think we're going to have replacement deans, I think is what's going on. But I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the month as you sit back and listen to more Watch of Fun with M, Mike, and Nath. But if you think I'm wrong about the comics, I want you to tell me. Hit me up on Twitter and hit me up at DeanRCurie.com. What am I doing? That's my website. Just go to at DeanRCurie. This is where my brain is gone. I've talked about comics for too long. See you, bye.
No.